I'm going to bring you to a portion of scripture. Many of you are familiar with it. Some of you may have never heard it, but I believe that you'll be encouraged with it because the Bible says that the Israelites were put there for our example, but so were all the prophets and so was everything written. So I want you to, while I'm talking here for a minute, find the book of Habakkuk. Some say Habakkuk, but you can go over to Habakkuk over toward the end of the Old Testament, back by Zechariah and back through there. I'm going to answer probably many, many questions, and I believe that in the last few months, we've all probably done plenty of complaining, had plenty of frustration, and did a lot of whining over what we are seeing in our America. America was never really pure. We've had our issues over the years, you know. Things, I think, were more hidden in years gone by. There's always been stuff. But today, it's blatant, and it is wide open for everybody to see. And that's just wild and crazy, and it's just so frustrating for us. So I got this on last Tuesday, right at the end of my prayer time. And this is one thing that always bothers me when I hear pundits or journalists say, America's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, I want to tell you, it isn't. And that is not true. And don't you ever say that. America is not going to hell, period, in a handbasket. There are some that probably will. But America was founded on some good principles. And let me tell you, there's millions of people in America that love the Lord and are praying. Okay, so don't get off on any of those tangents. Now, we were over at the beach, and my poor little camera's already full of pictures, and to say I didn't already have pictures at Pismo Beach, you know, it's probably full of pictures from Pismo Beach, but you always just get a few more. And on my cameras, just like yours, on your phone, it has panoramic view. And it'll just scout out the whole land. You know, it's just beautiful. And then you've got that which just focuses on that which is still. And I think that we, as the people of God, tend to focus in on things. And God looks at the panoramic view. He knows the end from the beginning. And he knows what we're going through right now, and it's not the, as we say, his first rodeo. He has seen it all through time, all the way back to the garden. He has seen it all, panoramic view. But right now, we're looking at America. We're looking at the world. We're looking at the stuff, and like, ooh, what are we going to do? Oh, I'm guilty too. But I want to show you that this precious brother, who is never mentioned again in the word, but you'll see this precious prophet and you'll see his heart. Look at this. Let's begin to read in verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read the first four verses. Brother Rick, thank you for filling in for Sister Kathy today. All right. Verse 1. The burden. Oh, by the way, before I get started, Rick and Sylvia Groves, thank you guys so much for that beautiful SNL trip, the seniors trip to Pismo Beach yesterday. They had 21 people that went along, and what a great day. So much fun. And where's my sweet sister? She's, honey, we're going to jump on that in a little while. I've already forgotten that testimony, but we'll get it the right time, okay? These girls just almost had a revival out there. She lost her phone. Somebody found it. They were Christians. They got it to them, and they just had a prayer meeting right out there in front of everybody. So what a blessing it was, and thank you for sharing that. But I want you to look at this precious brother. Verse 1, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. He saw it. It was a burden. What he saw was a burden. Verse 2, oh, Lord. Whew, my mic is pretty hot. I've got a new mouthpiece, but it sounds good to me down here. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? even cry out to you. You don't hear when I cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to seek trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and there's contention. Strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law, look at this, the law is powerless. And justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. I think that Habakkuk must have come to his wit's end. It looks as though he just blew up on God. And he said, I'm burdened by what I see. And Lord, how long are we going to cry out to you? What are we saying? What do you hear your sisters and brothers and acquaintances? You know, we talk together and we're like, how long is this going to go on? How long will God let these guys get by with that? How long will he let the violence rage and the thieves steal and rob? How long? And I believe that he has put these little five verses right here for us to see today that we might be encouraged. And he says, Lord, how long shall I cry and you don't hear me? I even cry out to you, violence, but you don't hear it. And why do you let me see iniquity? Lord, it's like you show me everything. My eyes are open. We see it. I mean, we turn the TV on and there it is. Every network. You go into the store, people are talking about it. You see inflation. They have Bible bucks out at the children's church. And Deeds does a great job. And so they earn their little Bible bucks for the things they do. And so she lets them go shop. And so the other day she takes them in there and my little angel said, our little angel, excuse me, Sarah, our little angel, says, ooh, Sister D, you've raised your prices. And then she says, inflation. And she says, inflation, she knew about it already. And so D decided she's going to let them shop once a month instead of every 2 weeks, and they won't understand those prices have been raised on them. But he goes, God, I just see it. I mean, iniquity is everything, and you literally show it to us. Like, sometimes I just don't want to see it. You know, sometimes you just get tired of seeing the mess. And you guys that work out there and all this stuff, I don't know how you deal with it. Alicia, how do you deal with what you've seen out there? Woo! And then everything else that's happening to our peacekeepers. Now, let me give you a little backdrop here. See, they had peaceful and beautiful days in the days of the anointed King David and his son King Solomon. Everything was beautiful. It was peaceful. There were no wars. I mean, everything was just awesome. And all of a sudden, this nation now, they're gone. They're long gone. I mean, that peace and beauty, it's long gone. And now this nation has been split in two, literally. Split in two, and now it has fallen into the hands of the heathen. And it looks exactly like America has fallen into the hands of the heathen. And they are so unashamed. And when this precious man talks about the plundering and the violence, and we look at the same thing and we see these people. I think I told you Wednesday night, my friend that was a manager over at CVS, she retired. I said, Kathy, why are you retiring? I thought you'd be here a little longer. She says, I can't take it anymore. She said, they let these people come in and rob and steal and take out big bottles of things. And they just, you know, it can go up to $900 and they can just walk out with it. And there isn't a thing we can do. And she's like, I'm just not going to go there. It goes against my values. I just can't agree with that. And I heard some Habakkuk in her. And then us, as it looks, as we look at this, and he says, there's just strife and contention. And people, if we have a conservative word to say, or we call good good, and we don't flow with the crowd or the group think that says good is evil and evil is good, then they call that hate speech. And my daughter says to me recently, "Mom, it's so sad to think of those innocent people that are there in prison in Washington, D.C. over January 6th. You may believe it, you may not, but there's some innocent people locked up while Nancy Pelosi, husband, can do his dirty trading at the stock market and get by with it and make millions of dollars, and yet Martha Stewart goes to prison for less than what he did. It's not what you know, it's who you are. And if you're on the right side, it's good. But there's strife and discontentment, and they point fingers, and it's hate speech, and they call you all kinds of names if you dare stand for the right. But I'm going to tell you, church, you are sitting here in a building. You are the church, but we have all come together as the church inside a church building to worship him. But you are in a place that will continue to tell the truth no matter what. I do not care. We will continue with the truth. I can't understand our fathers of the faith. I was on Twitter, and I went off of Twitter a couple years ago because I just got tired of seeing the fathers of the faith. You had your T.D. Jakes, who I've admired so much. He taught us so much, and he has such a revelation from God. And you just see these great people, and there's just so many of them. And I don't want to discourage you by calling names, but they're there, and they won't stand up for this truth because they don't want to lose a tithe. A giver or a tithe payer or a good giver, or they might lose their following. Listen, we have to stand for what's right. If we don't say it, who's going to say it? We have to fight for our little ones. We have to fight for our children. You want your sons and daughters to grow up and be as straight as they can be. See, everything's taken on a new definition. And in communist countries, they teach them change the definitions. That's the beginning. If you want to move into Marxism, or you want to move into communism, socialism, you've got to change definitions. And they're doing that these days. See, Habakkuk, he was in the minority of people. He still stood under the law of Moses and his father Abraham. He still believed those values that father Abraham and Moses and the great prophets behind him stood on. He was still there. And you know what, guys? We are a minority today. If we stand on the written word and we stand on Judeo-Christian values that our great nation was founded on, and our fathers who founded the Constitution. Oh, yeah, but they were this and they were that. Listen, they founded this nation on some values. And we have a Constitution. We have a Bill of Rights that have kept us all these years. And I'm going to tell you right now, as soon as they can, this group of socialists will do everything they can to rip that Constitution in pieces. Amen? They'll do it if they can. But guess who's holding everything down? Guess who's holding it all down? Jesus and the body of Christ. Until we're lifted out of here, they can only go so far. And they are like a dog on a chain. You walk up to a house, this, you know, pit bull on a chain, and you walk up, and he reaches out to grab you by the leg, and that chain yanks him back. He's reached the end of his chain. Let me tell you, these guys can do what they want to do. They can get ready and say, we want this statue down. We want that statue down. We don't want it. God, we trust on the coin. Listen, if they could take that off, it would be off the coin already. But God just says, well, my church is still here right now. I know we're seeing a lot of things, But he says the church is holding it back. And the Antichrist, the minute we're lifted out, he will come on the scene and everything will explode. And they will have the time of their life, but many who knew better will be distraught. But we are in the minority today that hold on to the truths of the word. And so we were crying along with this man, how long, Lord? Don't feel bad about it. No, we cry out, Lord, how long are you going to let this mess go on? God, you got to protect us. How long, Lord? How long are you going to let it go on? This violence and destruction and evil and lies and the murder in the streets. And you guys just got back from Chicago. And, Dee went and got her mother out of L.A. She went and brought her out because it's so mean around her house. It's getting so wicked. He goes on to say, God, there's no lawlessness. Look at this. Verse 4, therefore the law is powerless. Now, I'm telling you, this guy went off. I mean, he just went off. Now, we could talk to God in certain ways, but I don't know if I would say, Lord, that law is just powerless. And he said, justice never goes forth. Nothing's ever happening. Y'all know what? We're seeing that right now. Not much justice is going forth that we see, but I believe, as Shannon Groves told me, she said, we see miracles every single day that you all don't see. I believe they're happening. We're not seeing it, but I guarantee you we will see it. So God, he is saying, why do you allow this stuff to continue, and why don't you intervene? Have you ever thought that? Please, Lord, do something. Are you just sitting there twiddling your thumbs? Have you looked away from evil? The Bible tells us he cannot look upon wickedness. Well, it says the wicked prosper. In fact, you go over to Psalms, I think it's 73. And even David himself, he says, oh God, he said, I'm just telling you, I am distraught today. He said, I see all the wicked. In fact, the New Living Bible years ago, the old Living Bible, not the New Living Bible, translated it. Those fat cats, they just sit on their thrones and they're as wicked as can be. And they prosper in everything they set their hand to. And he says, this is what King David said, and God, I was about ready to fall off the edge until I went into the sanctuary. And when I went into the sanctuary, I got help. And your sanctuary, this morning we've got a sanctuary, but you have one, Matthew 6 says, in your home. You have that secret place where you go with him, and it's just you and him and nobody else. And he says, your Father who sees in secret, in that secret place, when you go to the secret place, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's why some of you are so absolutely blessed. He says, I will bless you openly. And everybody will look and say, look what the Lord has done for them. Look what the Lord has done. But David said, I was about ready to fall off, and I went to the sanctuary. And I think today a lot of the people of God, they're just like, God, I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm just about ready to fall off if you don't do something. But I know. Man. Open murders on the street. The guy broke into the liquor store. You saw it. He was trying to rob this man's store. He was going to probably kill him. And the old guy turns around. He's an old man. He looks like Mike. He's not really old. He's like 70, I guess, you know. And so the old guy just turns around. He gets a knife off the shelf and puts it right here. And guess what? They send him off. They put him in jail. Now he's out because people rose up. See, people are rising up. Now they're like, ha, that's wrong. No, we're not doing that. We're not going to put up with that. And so they rose up and they let him out. So murders on the street, yeah, every day. We used to go to the garment district to shop all the time when we were evangelists on the road. And the alley down at Santee, down at the Los Angeles Mart, there's just horrible things down there. I wouldn't even go down there right now. They burn down buildings innocent people in jails. The transgender people are allowed to take over. Who would have ever thought that we would have had a transgender person stand on the presidential administration, stand at the desk, and say, look, I want to pass this bill so that we can get pills out to our children that will stop puberty for a while until they decide what they want to be. Transgender. You going to let them do that? We wouldn't let them babysit our babies for 10 minutes. And they want to get up there behind that sacred desk and tell us they're going to stop puberty. Are you kidding? Don't make me yell, church. I'm a woman. I can't yell at you. It's not good. The thieves and the criminals are protected. It's just like they protect them. The governor, the mayor of L.A. just protects the wicked, the criminal. I know you don't do that, Sheriff. Listen, just, can I call you a dude? This dude, he just, yeah. Do you need any help? Alicia will help you. Danny will help you. And we got some good old boys like Rick, man. You just call him. He'll be there. Thieves and criminals and then the police force, so mocked and defunded, and take their money away. And did you hear that again? You know, I give myself away. You guys say, pastors, all you do is watch the news. Sometimes. Did you see it where the dad was getting arrested? He tells that little tiny boy, how old was he, 3 or 4? 6? Huh? 4? He tells him, shoot him, shoot him. And the little boy shot the policeman. The little boy shot him. Parents teaching their children that kind of thing. The president and his administration trying literally to destroy our nation. I mean, they just want to see it collapse. Even our school system. Some are corrupt and indoctrinating our children with everything we can. Thank God for godly principles and teachers that will stand up and say, I won't do that. I won't go there with you. The lies, and others are saying they want to come lock down the churches again. Well, I believe we'll stand, church, with all that I have in me, unless we are mandated. And we may still stand even if we're mandated. I don't know. But monkeypox now. Monkeypox. It was COVID. It was this. It was that. Now they got numbers on it. And we're planning on it doing this. Well, you and I aren't planning on it doing anything. You know, we've had 2 rounds with COVID. I don't want to go another round. Do you? So we're not. So I just want to tell you today, it ain't over. It ain't over. Now, the title of my message is, It's Not Over. So it would be kind of better English when it goes on the website. But I'd just like to tell you, it ain't. That's just a bigger, harder word in Texas. It ain't over. It's just not. So don't worry. God has a plan. So, old Habakkuk, he just rants and raves and carries on just like we do. Just like old Greg Locke. He just goes crazy, you know. But so do we. We rant and rave. But then God speaks. You want to hear what God had to say? All right. Watch this. Verse 5. So God listens to him. He lets him get it all out. Get it all out, boy. Tell me how you really feel. Make yourself feel good. God speaks in verse 5. He says, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days. Somebody say my days, which you would not believe, though it were told you. You wouldn't even believe it. For indeed, let's just stop right there, okay? I don't think you can handle the next. I'll bring it to you in a minute. Just don't read it yet. But God says, no, you know what? You're going to be utterly astounded when you see what I'm getting ready to do. And he said, and if I told you now, you wouldn't even get it. You wouldn't believe it. You'd just laugh at it, probably. So I I'll just have to show you. So here he says, you won't believe it, but God works in the most unexpected ways. And it's sometimes God works in really crazy ways. I mean, it's just hard for us to believe. Could you believe that abortion, after all these years, we prayed it through the 60s and 70s and 80s, and here, years later down the road, it was like overturned overnight. One night it's set in stone. We think, oh, that would be impossible. That will never happen. But it happened overnight. So God's selection and the people he chooses to bring things to pass, the connections he makes with you and with me, and look back at your life, the things you've been through, just look at the ways he has brought things together to get you to the place where you needed to be, the right time at the right place with the right people to make it happen. And it seemed absolutely impossible. Well, look at this. So God says, I'm going to work a work in your days. And that's what I got my spirit on Tuesday. He said, you be encouraged. And I wish I had a big platform to teach this on. I should be on. This message should be on Flashpoint. Yeah, maybe. Should at least be on Facebook today. I wish I could tell everybody. Look at this. Oh, no, I'm going to do a work in your day today. And everybody's going to be astounded, though I told you wouldn't believe it. Verse 6, look at this. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans. You think, oh, good God, the Chaldeans are coming. Yay! Oh, okay, just a minute. So here's who the Chaldeans are. Verse 6, for indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and nasty, or hasty, nasty too. I'm raising up a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. He said, the Chaldeans come over, they just take over. And by the way, they're an enemy to Israel. They don't even like you. They are terrible, and they're dreadful, and their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their judgment, and they just flaunt their filth. And their negativity and their wickedness and their lawlessness. Verse 8, their horses also are swifter than leopards, and they're more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead, their cavalry comes from afar, and they fly as an eagle that hastens to eat. And they all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. I'm not going to read any more lest I discourage you. And Habakkuk had to say, oh God, are you serious? Really? The Chaldeans are going to come in here? God, you're going to do what? With the Chaldeans, you know how mean they are. They destroy wherever they go, they destroy. And now America is looking at China and Russia and Iran cozying up with Biden and his dear son, who they don't say a word about that filth that's on his computer. Pedophilia, everything. Who knows what's there? That's the reason the guy turned that computer in, is because he said there was too much stuff that set America in danger with China and with the world. And do you see how this sounds, I guess? And so I want us to be encouraged with this. Could it be, because God used the Chaldeans here, I'm just asking, okay? I'm just asking. Could it be that God is allowing these people to do what they're going to do? Are they our Chaldeans? Are they our Chaldeans that's going to fix everything? You say, oh, you've got to be kidding. They're going to fix things? I'm just saying. Really? It's the word of the Lord. Do you remember? See, we look at our lifetime. Oh, this is the worst it's ever been. You know, I was a young woman, and I remember hearing Reagan. And Reagan stood up there, who was a previous movie star. And he came to be one of the greatest presidents we ever had. And he stood there. And with that mellow Texas voice of his, he says, holding that podium like this, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that. You know what he said. What did he say, Mr. Gorbachev? And what did Gorbachev do? He tore down a wall. Who would think that that communist wall would ever fall down? Who would have ever thought that it would just fall down? It just seemed impossible to think that the German regime would fall. And it's impossible to think that God drove Hitler to his crazed mind and he committed suicide. Who would think these things could ever happen? And it seems that they collapse overnight. And the same thing happened to the Soviet Union. It's like, what? The Soviet Union and Germany and Hitler and Stalin and so much. That's already happened in our lifetime. So I just want to say, don't lose hope. Because God will do what he pleases. When he pleases. How he pleases. Wherever he pleases, to anybody he pleases. And if that's another country, if that's China, if that's Mr. Xi, doesn't matter. If he wants to take some of the Supreme Court out and put in three conservatives, how could that happen? I'm going to tell you something. Roe versus Wade wouldn't have been overturned without those three new people, conservatives on there. Think about it, church. Poor old Jonah. You know, we've talked a lot about him, and I mean, he's preached everywhere. Up, down, sideways, diagonally. Poor old Jonah swallowed by that well. All hope of surviving was over. It was dark. It was slimy. It was ugly. And he was in there alone, my sweet sister. He was alone. And I wonder, it said that he was praying, but I'm wondering if he kind of felt like he was praying hopeless prayers. But he kept praying, and he sought the Lord. And while old Jonah was praying, and you and I are living in a land of darkness right now, wickedness and lawlessness, everything the prophet described, you and I are seeing, it's a burden. It's the burden of what we see. It's a burden of what we see. We're seeing it, Brother Robert. Wise. So poor Jonah, I mean, he's in a total different category, but he's in a whale's belly. Who's ever going to go there? And there he is. He's praying. And while he is praying, listen, while he's praying, God just redirected that human whale or that species and just redirected him and just said, turn this way. And while Jonah is praying, this whale is headed to the beach just to spit him out on soft sand. Now, he could have spit him out on hard ground or on cement. Well, I don't know if they had cement then. But he could have spit him out on hard ground. But he spit him out on the beach so he could continue his work. And so I want to encourage you today that while we are yet praying, while we are yet speaking, God is redirecting things right now. And I tell you, the Chaldeans are coming. Who are they? I believe they're already here. And I believe we see them on the networks every day. But I believe God's going to turn the table and he's redirecting. And sometimes this ride that we're on is like off the charts. Woo! I mean, Kathy Lewis, she's back there in San Antonio sitting there, her little sweet daughter who's, you know, getting older, got a family, and her daughter writes in her hand and says to her husband, says, honey, I need my mama. And he said, honey, your mama's holding your hand. And said she just relaxed and was so happy. She couldn't see Kathy, but Kathy was already there before she asked. Now, Kathy and Shinda and Shinda's husband, I'm sure they all feel like they're in the belly of a whale right now. All alone, don't know what to do, don't know where to go, but they know Jesus is the one. So she wrote home this morning, said, tell them to pray, tell my family to pray for Shinda. And I want you to remember, please ask, the Lord with me. We already did that. He'll have that ventilator off of her, that tube out of her mouth. But sometimes the ride's just hard. I mean, it just gets hard. I don't care how godly you are. We can get frustrated, and we can also get scared. I just want to encourage you, don't be fearful, though, okay? Don't be fearful, because it's all going to be all right. And be careful how you complain, saying, God, why don't you do something? Why don't you do something? Well, he is. Now I want you to say, I know God is doing something. He just is. Yes, he is. He's redirecting, and it's all coming together, even while I'm talking about all this morning. Anyone believe that? He's bringing it all together. And I believe that he is raising up those crazy Chaldeans to start fixing things. Oh, they'll fix it. They won't know it, but they will. They'll be fixing things. And God said, I will work a work in your days. Did he say it? Yeah, he said in verse 5, the right the middle of the verse, I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. He said, if I told you right now, you wouldn't believe it. I remember, I think it was Kuhneman, or maybe Kent Christmas, back in 2018, prophesying that Roe versus Wade was going to be overturned. We couldn't even grasp that. Outside the gospel, you couldn't. Okay, so what's the conclusion of the whole matter, as Solomon said? Let me just read it to you. I won't have you put it up, Rick, because I'm just going to read half of one verse out of Habakkuk 2:13-14, if you want to look at it, if you've got your Bible open. The end of verse 13, it says, and nations, listen to me, please, and nations weary themselves, how? In vain. He said, it's just useless. Don't worry about it. He said, the nations worry in vain, for the earth will be filled. The earth will be filled with what? With madness? With wickedness? With lawlessness? No, he said, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Ah! We just saw yesterday how the waters covered the sea, and it's beautiful. But he said, oh, no, no. The nations weary themselves in vain. For the Lord will be, for the earth, that's where we are, that's what we're all concerned about, will be filled with the knowledge. It didn't say filled with the glory of the Lord. It said filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So all those Chaldeans that are coming, they'll all know it. Those Chaldeans will see the glory of the Lord. They'll have the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I believe even our schools, pray over our schools, pray over our middle schools, the high schools, the colleges, pray over Walmart, Target, our churches, all of those stores over the malls in the other cities. Just pray God's protected hand over all of them while the Chaldeans are getting ready to help us out. Amen. Stand on your feet with me today. Wonderful Jesus, you are just so good. One of the banners say, you are wonderful good, and you surely are. We honor you this day, Lord, and I pray that you would help us as Jesus' disciples came. And they said, Lord, help our unbelief. They acknowledged that it was hard for them to grasp and believe at times. Lord, unbelief. Lord, we don't ever want that to turn into a hardness of heart. Doubt is just wondering, well, I wonder if it could happen. Unbelief goes a little bit farther. So, Lord, we are people that doubt because there is a real devil. But we never want to get into a hardness of heart. And so, Lord, help those who are experiencing hard and rough times, maybe in the belly of a whale this very moment, that, Lord, you're there with them. And you are redirecting the whale, the very thing that they are caught up in, you're redirecting it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, Pastor Paulette, I've walked away from the Lord, but I need to come home to Jesus today. I got out here and I got rebellious and didn't want to go to Nineveh like God called me to. So I went over to Tarshish. That's where Jonah went. I just went another way because I just didn't want to go. I didn't want to do what he wanted me to do. So I just made a way, my own way. And I messed up. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? See, that's me. I just blew it. I see you, my sweet brother. Anyone else in the house? Hallelujah. Well, brother, we're going to pray. You just lift your hand right there where you are and just rededicate right there. My precious brother, he just wants to always make sure he's clean and holy. Would you lift your hands to Jesus today? Father, all I'm going to say on this message today, I'm just going to say Selah. Help us just to think on these things and carry it not only in our hearts, but in our minds. Our minds give us the struggle. Our souls battle with the natural man and the spirit man. And Lord, would you convict your men and women, boys and girls, to feed their spirit. Feed the spirit the things of the Lord. Feed our spirits on the word. And upon your music. And upon your devos. And upon prayer. That we might grow in you and be strong and mighty in this land. Lord, if we feed our flesh more than our spirit, then our flesh will rise up and be stronger. But folks, we must feed our spirits that our spirits are stronger than our flesh. For your flesh will lead you to destruction. There's a way that will seem right to you, but the Bible says it's destruction. But God's ways are always perfect. Would you commit to that today? Come on. Think on these things. Lord, I will feed my spirit. I will feed my heart. And I'll tell you this, church. When you feed your heart, your mind will just fall in. Hallelujah. Well, you just take this word with you, folks. Sit on it. Eat on it. Receive it. And I say Selah to you. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you, turn his countenance toward you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you all. Thanks for being at Landmark today. Call us if you have need with us this week. Meet us Wednesday night. Amen.